This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Yisai. We continue in Masechta Chagiga, Tesama Beis. If anybody wants, we have some good eggs. Today's daf is Yud Amud Aleph. We're going to start from the two dots on the bottom on Tesama Beis. The Mishnah said, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh Oimer, Ezehu Me'uvas Lo Yuchal Liskoin. What is a incorrection that cannot be fixed? Zeha Bo Al Ho Erva. That is someone who lives within Erva, and produces a mamzer. So that implies that the only time it's uncorrectable, is if you produce a mamzer. But just having relations with a arayas, so you do tshuva and that's it. Says the Gemara, hoylid in loy hoylid loy. If you give birth to a mamzer, so now you have concretization, materialization of your sin. But if you didn't give birth, not a problem. I've hatanya. We learned in a brayso Rosh Hamanasi Oimer goinei vadam. If you steal, that's not muuva sheino yachalosko, and that's not something that can't be corrected. Efsher sheyachser geneva v'yisakin. You could return the stolen object and correct it. Goizel adam. If you rob someone, efsher sheyachser gezela v'yisakin. You could return what you stole and correct it. Aval haba aleishas ish. But if you live with a married woman, va'asor labala, now she becomes prohibited to her husband, nitrad min ha'olam, you go lost from the world, v'halachla, and you have to leave. In other words, if you live with a married woman, so now you render her prohibited to her husband, and it's something that's not correctable, you've messed up this marriage forever. Now, already we have akasha, because we see from here, you don't have to actually produce a mamzer, just living with the arayos, alone, creating an isr labala, that alone is uncorrectable, wrongdoing. And so why did the Mishnah say only if you produce a mamzer? You could have something that's not correctable just from the relations if you cause an isser to the husband. The Gemara is going to give an obvious answer. That the Mishnah is talking about when you live with an arayos who she's not married or she or it's not causing an isser to her husband. But that's the kasha to bat. Reb Shimon ben Yochai says that no, someone who lives with arayos is not considered something that can't be corrected, because ein oimer bakru gamal. You don't say check a camel. Let's say you want to bring a camel as a carbon. You're not mevaker. You don't check the camel to see if the camel has a mum, because you can't bring the camel for a carbon in the first place. So nobody's inspecting the camel. Bakru chazir. Nobody inspects a pig for whether it's a bal mum or not. My Zayda was the last Rav of the city of Sachachov in 1939, right before the Nazis came in. His neighbor, who was a Polish attorney, came in, who he was very good friends with. Actually, he was my grandfather, my great-grandfather was the Dayan of the city, was the Avbezin of the city. So this Polish attorney used to sit in on the court cases. He appreciated the Talmudic logic. But right before the Nazis came in, he brought in a Nazi to my Zayda's Avbezin. He came in with a bowl with a liver of a pig. And the liver was so, it was like in a bowl of blood. He slammed it down on the table. Rabbi, is it kosher or treif? He says, you know, it's a pig liver. I need a halacha on this pig liver, and otherwise the SS officer will be back. But obviously, you know, you can't. There's no such psak. You can't paskin on a camel. You can't paskin on a pig. Ela bakru tle. You can only investigate a sheep, which is roi for a carbon. So therefore, you can't say someone who lives with an erva is something that was a wrongdoing that cannot be corrected, because in all likelihood, the person was not straight to begin with. The only time you could say To a wrongdoing that cannot be corrected is something that was straight to begin with. Ve'ezeh, what is someone who is straight that cannot be corrected? Zet Talmud Chacham Shapirish Min HaTorah. That's a Torah sage that separates from Torah. Because he was straight to begin with, and then he left the better pastures for a field of weeds. Rabbi Hugh? Oh, so why can't the person do tshuva? Very good question. So I'd say like this. Because if somebody, let's say, used to learn Torah and then he doesn't, you could do tshuva all you want, then you won't be punished. But there's no way to make up the Torah that you didn't learn. In other words, tshuva, you could get atonement, but there's no way to fulfill. In other words, let's say somebody in the Gemara says, misses Kriya Shema. You could do tshuva, but you lost that Shema forever. It's Me'uva Sheino Yachal Liskoin.
What about if you do tshuva Me'ava, where all your averus turn from?
Good. So it's so The question is, but what mitzvah does it turn into?
You don't, now it's as if you made it. You didn't daven properly, now it's as if you daven properly.
So I would say like this. L'maisa, the Maral says, the truth is, even if somebody lived with an arayas and had a mamzer, if you do full tshuva, you could get a kapara. The Gemara doesn't mean it's impossible, it means it's very difficult. But even when you do tshuva me'ava, you get a different z'chus. That z'chus of saying the Shema, that z'chus you didn't get because you didn't say the Shema. Maybe you get a different z'chus. Hashem grants you a z'chus. But it's not the z'chus of saying the Shema. You know, well, or let's say like this. You know, here's a guy. He missed the day of yeshiva. So the mashgiach asks, where were you? My great aunt needed me to schlep her boxes of china. And there was mamish sakonas nefashos. So what does the mashgiach say? You're forgiven. But nobody ever became a Talmud Chacham on excuses. So an excuse might get you off the hook. But at the end of the day, you're not going to know that blot of Gemara, right? So, okay. So it's in a way, move Shinu Yachal Iskain. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish Omar, Kol Talmud Chacham Shepiresh Min HaTorah, any Torah sage that separates from the Torah, Alav HaKasav Omer, about him, the Pasuk says, Kitsipar Noidedes Min Kina, like a bird that wanders from her nest, kein ish noideid mimakaymai. So too a man wanders from his place. In other words, when a Talmud Chacham leaves the Torah, it's like he left his home. He left his security. He left his oasis. Va'oimer, and God says, ma matzu avoseichem bi avel. What wrongdoing did your forefathers find in me? Ki rachaku me'olai. I give you a beautiful Torah. It makes you happy. It gives you contentment. What ill will, what bad did you see in me, God says, that you left the Torah? What did I ever do to you? All I did was I gave you the best thing in the world, so why'd you leave it? But the bottom line is, the kasha is, the mishnah is, ma'ashma mu'uva sein yachaliskan, is only if you produce a mamzer. And here, the mere relations with an erva, which causes isser labayla, also is considered and deemed mu'uva sein yachaliskan. Says the Gemara, I need two new batteries. Says the Gemara, it's not a kasha. Loi kasha. Kan ba'achoysoi penuya, kan ba'eshes ish. When do we say that you have to produce a mamzer? You only have to produce a mamzer if you live with your sister who's single. If you live with your sister who's single, so then you're not causing her to become usher to her husband. So it would only be uncorrectable if you produce a mamzer. But if you live with a married woman, even if you don't produce any children, that's muva sinu chaluskan because you asked her to her husband. Says the Gemara, v'iboy seima, or if you want, you could say, hava hava ishasish. Both women are married. V'loy kasha, kan ba'oines, kan baratzen. If you live with her against her will, if you rape her, then it's not muva sheni yachaliskoin, because she doesn't become usher to her husband, because it's against her will. She doesn't, she's still mutares labala. Baratzen, but if it's with her consent, so then she's usher to her husband, then it would be usher, even if you don't produce a mamzer. In other words, if it's against her will, it's only if you produce a child. If it's with her consent, it's even if you don't produce a child.
Can the person rapes a woman, a child born as a mamzer?
If she's married.
If she's married as a mamzer?
Yeah.
So it's not. So she didn't do anything. She's a victim, and plus on top of that, that is a mamzer, and she's prohibited to her husband?
She's not prohibited to her husband.
But she is a mamzer.
Yes. Oh my God. Okay. The Gemara continues. The Vaisema, hava hava oines. Both situations are, it's against her will. If it's against her will, l'chayra, you had to produce a child. V'loi kasha. Kan ve'ishas koyen, kan ve'ishas Yisrael. If she's the wife of a koyen, then you answer her to her husband, even if it's against her will. But if it's the wife of Yisrael, you're only going to answer her if it's be'ratzein. And therefore, by ishas Yisrael, it's only if you produce a child. By ishas koyen, it's even if it's against her will. Fine. Now the Gemara ends off with a drasha on the pasuk in Zechariah that speaks about the Talmud Chacham who abandons his learning. Okay? Now we think, what does it mean the Talmud Chacham abandons his learning? Chveis, he learned in yeshiva, he learned until he was married, he learned 5 years in Kailal, and then he gets a job, and he can't even learn a word on Shabbos. So Gemara says, no, it's not as drastic as you think. Ule yoitze ule ba in shalem. One who goes out and one who comes in, there's no peace. Amarav, Rav said, Kivan she yoitze adam midvar halacha ledvar mikra shuv in lo shalem. Somebody who is accustomed to learning halacha in depth, and then wanted to take the easy way out and said, you know what, I'm going to start learning Chumash and Rashi, maybe the Ramban, and I'll learn Chumash instead. Ein lo shalom, he has no peace. Now, what does that mean, ein lo shalom? He will not be able to paskin anymore. Rashi says, she'ein hoira midvar mikra. There's no way to paskin from Chumash. Ha-mishna mefaresha stima satoira. The Mishnayis explain the unclarity and the unclear passages in the Torah. In other words, somebody who abandons halacha to learn chumash is considered, in a way, abandoning the Torah. Because you won't have the same level of scholarship. Even though the chumash, in a way, is holier, in a way. But no, not in terms of practice.
It sounds like he learned halacha. He learned halacha.
In other words, he was learning halacha. Right, yeah, good point. Huh? In other words, that doesn't mean he never learned halacha. He was learning halacha.
Yeah.
But he abandoned, it sounds like, his adeptness and his ability to paskin properly will wane. Right? Even though he does have experience in learning halacha. Shuvein l'sham. Shmuel Amar, ze ha-poyresh mi-talmud l'mishnah. Someone who's used to learning Gemara. And he says, you know what? In the Elter Yoren, I'll start learning Mishnayis. I'm not going to learn Gemara as much. No, Ein Shalom. It's not correct. Says the Rashi, Mitamad L'Mishnah. Now, interesting. Talmud in the Gemara is not called Gemara. Talmud in the Gemara is called Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. Shimush Talmidei Chachamim means you hear the Shir, but afterwards, when the people question, and then the Rebbe has to sort of clarify to the next level, that's the Iker Gemara. Gemara is, look, Rashi says, Mshimesh es hachachamim. If you reach the Madrego where you serve Tamil Chachamim, Shehin medaktikin litein tam Mishnayis. They were very careful to give the reasonings of Mishnayis, Lahavina Mishnayis asoizu azu, to explain the contradictory Mishnayis, Velimtsai tam leftor lechayva leisrael heter, and to give the various rationales for what's permitted, what's asur. Shehamishnazu kare Talmud. This type of learning is called Talmud. And if you left that and instead you say, you know what, let me just get the text of the Mishnah and the simple reading of the Mishnah and the simple translation of the Mishnah, that ein lo shalom, you will not be wholesome and full in your ability to paskan. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu mishas l'shas. The guy's not stopping to learn Gemara, but he's changing his learning of Gemara from one Talmud to the other. What does that mean, from one Talmud to the other? Rashi says that means, if you used to learn Yushalmi, and now you say, enough with the Yushalmi, I'm going to go to the Bavli, your psak will be limited. Why would that be? Because Bavli is considered a darkness compared to Yushalmi. Like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, B'machashakim hoishivani k'mesi oilam, Talmud Yushalmi is considered, Talmud Bavli is considered darkness compared to Yushalmi. It's interesting. In Yushalmi, we point out one difference, you know, it starts in Daf Aleph, but besides that, in Yushalmi, when it wants to cite a proof, it says, Tochazi, come and see. It says, Tochazi, come and see. As opposed to in the Bavli, it doesn't say Toshma. Because in Bavli, it's all inference and understanding, but you don't see it. There's a certain clarity in the Yushalmi that you don't have in the Bavli. Now, I was a little bit surprised that Rashi learns this way. Because of course the Iker learning is the Bavli. Many Gedolim never saw the Yushalmi even, or didn't learn the Yushalmi. The Netziv learns that when the Gemara calls the Bavli darkness, it's Lemal Yusa, it's the advantage of the Bavli. That because it's not so crystal clear, you need to analyze and apply yourself, and when you do, you gain a level of understanding that's not available through the Yushalmi. Interestingly, the Tosfos Rid learns the Gemara the exact opposite of Rashi. That if you leave the Bavli and you go to Yushalmi, you will have no peace. That's what I would have learned, you know, instinctively.
Even Rashi says, "Latama Bavli Shahu Amok." It's deeper.
It's deeper. So why do we say Ein Shalom though? Right?
Right.
I would say though, even in Rashi, I just chapped. Who's saying this?
No?
This is Rabbi Yochanan, the author of the Yushalmi. So maybe that's why Rashi learns someone who Rabbi Yochanan is saying, obviously, if you leave Yishami to the Bavli, because this is the Yishami is Rabbi Yochanan's work. But not I don't think Rashi means that the Yishami is better or more important. We don't follow the Yishami. By the way, why don't we follow the Yishami? There are two reasons. Number one, we don't follow the Yishami. It was written earlier, and the Bavli is the final word. And number two, the Yishami is a much smaller collection of Gedolim. Most Ruba of the Amoraim lived in Bavel, and Ravina and Ravash were able to collect all their opinions. Rabbi Yochanan and only a few people were able to galvanize their opinion in the Yishami. Tosfos learns, like Rashi and like the Tosfos read, that if you leave one Talmud for the other, meaning like this, you have a guy, oh, I already learned Daf Yomi, so next cycle I'll do Yishami. Pal, you don't even know one blot in the whole Bavli. You didn't even spend more than 40 minutes on one blot. You don't know, well, you didn't read one Rashi inside, you didn't read one Tosfos. Wait for the Yishami until you actually know, let's say, one line of the Bavli. Right? So if you jump to one Talmud before you know the other Talmud, you're not going to know anything. That's how Tosfos learns the Gemara. So Tosfos sort of avoids the issue of which one is more important and which one is better. Okay, weiter. This Zok the Mishnah. Very interesting Mishnah. We know there's Tarsha Baal Peh, the Ikar Torah. Rabbi Yochanan says in Gittin, Daf Samach, Loikaras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Brisim Yisrael, Elabishvil, Tarsha Baal Peh. So what's interesting is, there are various types of Tarsha Baal Peh. There are certain halachos that basically are written in the Chumash, and the Tarsha Baal Peh explains them. But there are certain halachos that are b'chalal not mentioned in the Torah. There's like one little hair's breadth in the Torah, and the rest of it, the Tarsha Baal Peh expounds on it. So the Mishnah says like this: Heter Nedarim, the ability for a Chacham to be Mater and Neder, Parchin Ba'avir. It flies in the air. Meaning there is no strong basis in the Torah Shebachsav that you could be Mater and Neder. It doesn't really say it anywhere explicitly. It's flying in the air. Ve'ein lohem amashi yismaychu. It really doesn't have a lot to rely on. Hilchos Shabbos, the laws of Shabbos. Chagigos, the laws of bringing a karma chagiga. Vahame'ilos, the prohibition of benefiting from hektish. Harehim kahararim hatzluyim besara. Yes, there is some scriptural basis, but it's very minor. It's like a mountain on top of a hair, meaning we have a lot of halachos, and it rests on very little source material in the Chumash. Okay, shehin mikra muat, because there are very few psukim, the halachos merubais, and many, many halachos. Hadinin, the laws, meaning monetary laws, the ha'avoidos, laws of service in the temple, hatahoyros, those things which are tahar, vatameos, those things which are tame, va'arayos, and illicit relations, yesh lahen amasha yismoichu. They have what to rely on, v'hein hein gufei Torah. These is the main body of the Torah. These halachas don't just have Tarsha Baal Peh based on very little scriptural source, but it's very rooted in the Tarsha Bechsav. Okay, so the Gemara says that one of the examples of harorim, an example of something that flies in the air and has no scriptural source is Heter Nedarim. Heter Nedarim is Parchin Ba'avir, meaning it's not really based on the Chumash. It's just Halach L'Moshe. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to teach it to us, but it's not really rooted in the Chumash, and it doesn't really have what to rely on in the Chumash. Tanya, Reb Lezer Oimer, Yesh Lohem Amashe Yismaychu. Reb Lezer says, no, they do have what to rely on. Rabbeinu Chananu explains, meaning, there is a raya min haTorah. There is that the Torah does give rishus to matir nedarim, and it's not like birds that are flying in the air, like the Mishnah said. Meaning, Reb Lezer has a contrary opinion to the Mishnah. How do I know? Shenemar ki yafli. It says two times, once by Erechin, and once by Nazirus, the word yafli. Yafli means to enunciate explicitly. Shtei pa'amim, two times. Achas hafla le'isr. One is that if you enunciate with your words, it will cause a prohibition. And another time to teach that you could to be matir your nether. The achas hafla le'hater. And one to enunciate that you could be matir your nether. Says Rashi, ki yafli shtei pamim, echad be'erachin, ve'echad be'nazir. One by erachin, one by nazir. Ki yafli neder be'erkecha, ki yafli lindar neder by nazir. One is hafla le'isr. By the way, Rashi says, Kulei hafla lashain perush. Hafla means explanation, explicate. Kitagumaya re yafresh. Why does it say hafla by both of them? One, when you enunciate the neder, and one, when you retract before the chacham. And he said, I made this in this neder, and I had this in mind. But if I would have known that the repercussions of the neder would have been X, Y, and Z, I never would have made it. So Blazer holds, Hatter Nadorim does have what to rely on. Rabbi Yeshua says, Yesh lehem amashi yismaychush, and emar, Asher nishbati v'yapi. Very good. God said, I swore in my wrath. Why is Hashem saying, I swore in my wrath? God should say, I swore. Who cares that it was in His wrath? He's indicating, the only reason I swore is because I was angry. And if I won't, I can be matir. So from here we see that if there's a circumstance of why you made the neder, you may be allowed to matir. Biapi nishbati v'chazarti. I swore in my wrath, and I'm retracting. Rabbi Yitzchak, so far we have two sources for heter nedarim. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Yesh lohem amashe yismaych. Rabbi Yitzchak says that they have what to rely on. Shenemar koil nediv libay. It says, who donated to the Mishkan? Everyone whose heart compels him. That implies, if he made the neder and his heart no longer compels him, he has an opt-out. It says, who gives? Kol nediv lev. His heart is still compelling. Who cares if his heart is still compelling him? He has to keep his word. He made a neder. Why is it important that his heart is still compelling him? It must be that if your heart is not... Let's say like this. I gave money to the shul because I thought X, Y, and Z. But it's not. So now you still have to keep your word. But maybe you can be matter neder. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Okay? Chananya ben Achi, Rabbi Shua Omer. Chananya, the nephew of Rabbi Shua, says, Yesh lehem amash yismoichu. Being matter neder has what to rely on. Shenemer, Nishbati, says David, I swore, Va'akayema, and I will fulfill, Lishmar mishpatei tzedkecha. To guard the judgments of your rules. So David says, I swore and I'll keep it. No kidding, you'll keep it. If you swore, you have to keep it. Must be, it's a chiddush that you'll keep it. Because there's an opt-out if you don't want to keep it. Baruch Oymer V'Yosef. What?
Baruch Geyser
Mekayim. Right. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Now, interestingly, we have a Gemara like this in Megillah. Where we have a bunch of Tanoim that bring a proof to something, and Shmuel, who's an Amoira, comes and says, if I would have been around, I would have brought a better proof. And the Gemara says, Shmuel, we're okay. Shmuel said something better, lift it up a tiny bit, that leg. Shmuel said something better than everybody else. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Ihavoi Hasam, if I would have been there. Amar Luhu, I would have said, Didi Adifa Midutcho. My proof is better than all your proofs. Shenemar, Shmuel says the proof is that you could be Mat in the Darim. Lo Yachel Devarai. He cannot make his words profane. Hu Einoi Moichel. He cannot make his words profane. Aval Acherim Moichel and Loi. But others could make his words profane. Okay. Amar Rava. Rava said, "Lekulu islehu pircha levar midishmuel." All the above cited sources for heter nedarim have a refutation, except for Shmuel. The lesle pircha, he does not have a refutation. Why? Di mid Rebbe Lezer, the proof that Rebbe Lezer brought of kiafli, dilma kid Rebbe Yehuda sha'amar mishum Rav Tarfain. Maybe it's like Rebbe Yehuda said in the name of Rav Tarfain. The Tanya we learned in a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Mishum Rab Tarfain, La'oilam in Echad Mehem Nazir, neither of them are a Nazir. Shalai Nitna Nazirus Ela Lahafla, because Nazirus was only given for explication, means like this. There's a guy walking down the street. We'll call him Daniel, right? So Zemi sees Daniel, and Zemi says, if Daniel is a Nazir, then I'm a Nazir. Because Zemi's sure Daniel became a Nazir. So Sruli says, there's no way Daniel became a Nazir. If Daniel is not a Nazir, then I'm a Nazir. So one thing's going to be for sure. One of you two guys is going to be a Nazir. Because you said if he is, I'll be a Nazir. You said if he's not, I'll be a Nazir. The halacha is, none of you are a Nazir. Even if he is or even if he's not. Why? Because since you made your acceptance of Nazirus contingent, and you didn't say decisively, I'm a Nazir, you're not a Nazir. Where do we learn that from? The extra Kiafli. We learn from Kiafli that you're only a Nazir if you say unconditionally, I'm a Nazir. But if you make your acceptance of Nazir dependent on an outside circumstance, which may or may not be true, even if you're able to decipher later X or Y, it's not Chal. Okay. Nazirus is only given to a clear expression. The first one says that you need, the first one, we never learned that, the first one. It was always the second one. The first one we needed for the we needed for the Yatzim Din that you can make an Eder. Imid Rabbi Shua, if you're going to bring a proof from what Rabbi Shua says, that God said, I swore in my anger, which implies there's an opt-out. Dilma hachi kamar. Maybe this is what it means. Ba'api nishbati. In my anger, I swore. V'loi hadar nabi. And I'll never retract. So it's unclear what this means exactly. Because, by the way, Tosis points out that. What do you mean God is saying, I swore in my anger? The Gemara wanted to learn from there that you could be matir neder. We know God was never matir neder. God swore that anyone between 20 and 60 would not make it into the Midbar. And they didn't. And they didn't. So Tosfos says, no, he was still matir neder. How? Because he also swore they would never go into Olam Haba. And he did, and he is allowing them. The generation of the Midbar, the Gemara brings an opinion, will make it into Olam Haba. So God was matir neder on the chilek of his neder that they won't make it into Olam Haba. Now, according to this, then it has to be going according to the Shita that they don't go into Olam Haba. I was just thinking, interesting question. We know that not everyone between 20 and 60 didn't make it into the Midbar. Because the last 15,000, they went to sleep on Tisha B'Av, they dug their own graves, and they woke up in the morning. So what happened to their neder? Sounds like God had to be matir neder on those last 15,000. But anyway, right now the Gemara is being madche this proof that Ribbono Shel Olam is not saying, I swore in my anger and therefore there's an opt-out. He's saying, I swore and I was angry and there's no way out. Imid Rabbi Yitzchak, if you're going to bring a proof from what Rabbi Yitzchak said, that it says, kol nidiv liboy, anyone whose heart compels him, which implies your heart still has to be compelling you to be obligated by your neder. No, maybe it's not teaching you that. Maybe it's teaching you something else. Dilma la'afuke mi de Shmuel. Maybe it's excluding the din of Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, gomar b'libay tzarch sheyoytzi b'svasav. Let's say somebody makes a decision in his mind, I'm going to give the shul $1.2 million. But he doesn't say it. He just thinks it. According to Shmuel, it's not binding. Because if you make up in your mind, you have to enunciate it. No! Rabbi Yitzchak is saying the pasuk of Kol Nediv Libay is saying even if you just think you're going to give tzedakah, you are bound by it. By the way, we paskin like that. Under certain circumstances. Because we do also pass in Gamar Belibay Tzach Shiyatzi B'Svasav, V'Hakamash Malon, Da'af Agav Deloi Hoitzi B'Svasav. Even if you don't enunciate it, if you merely think you're going to give tzedakah, you're bound by it. Now, if the thought just goes through your head, wow, such a nice building, I'm going to really give a... It doesn't mean anything. But let's say you enunciate in your mind, I'm going to give to the shul $5,000, $10,000. You say it, in other words, you say it in your head. Not you think it like you think, I really have to exercise.
You never spoke it out loud.
Right? Because everybody thinks I really, but nobody does it, right? It doesn't mean just a fleeting thought. You have a formal thought. You do everything but say the words. That may be binding. Especially to Hektish. What about Chananya? Chananya said, Nishbati v'akayema. David HaMelech says, I swore and I kept it. What's the big deal? You swore and you kept it. The big deal is that implies you could be matirit. Imi de Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Dilma Karev Gidol Amarav. Maybe like Rav Gidol Amarav said, the Amarav Gidol Amarav Minayin Shenishbayin Lakayim Es Hamitzvah. From where do we know that we swear that you could swear to fulfill a mitzvah? Shenemar. Meaning, how do I know it's encouraged? How do I know it's a mitzvah to swear that you're going to do a mitzvah. In other words, let's do this. We're learning Masechet Chagiga. And the guy's sitting there, Chagiga, I really should do it, but it's too hard. How am I going to make it twice a week? It's a mitzvah to swear you're going to do it. Why? Because there's a din nishbaen l'kayim es ha-mitzvah l'zruzei nafshi, to energize yourself, to motivate yourself. People say, I don't want to sign. It is bli neder, because people get very nervous. But really, it should be b'neder, that I'm not going to talk. It's actually a mitzvah to make a neder, that you're going to bind yourself to a mitzvah. It's a Gemara Nedarim. Minayin shenishbaen l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. How do I know I swear? A person should swear to fulfill a mitzvah. Shenemar nishbati. David Amel says, I swore. Va'akayema, and I will fulfill it. Lishmar mishpeh tzidkecha. Ela d'shmuel, aslei percha. Shmuel has no percha. Amar Rava. Rava said, v'itemar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Hayinu da'amri inshi. This is what people say. Tava chada palpalta charifta. Better one sharp pepper. Mimalit sana dekari. Than a basket full of melons. Better a sharp pepper, we had this in Megillah, yeah, than a basket full of melons. Yeah. Right? Remember that?
Shlachmanas. He passed it over.
The Gemara says, how do I know Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemra? How do I know Esther Baruch HaKodesh? So one man the Amr says, because it says, Vayomer Haman Beliboy. How do we know? And one man the Amr said, because Mordechai overheard Big Son of Seresh. And Shmuel said, no, it says, Kimu V'Kiblu. Now, Shmuel is much younger than the Tanoim. He's small. He's like a little pepper. They're big melons. But Shmuel, sharp! By the way, right? You ever hear people say, oh, it's such a delicious melon. What are they talking about? Melon has no taste. There's no taste in a melon. Oh, it's such a delicious melon. It doesn't pack a punch. A pepper is a small thing. But a pepper, you get your money's worth. You get it, it packs a punch. Okay? Let's do a little shtickle, and then we'll hold it. We'll pick it up tonight. Okay. So we said, Hilchos Shabbos are what is called Harorim Hatulim Besara. Only very few people, very few psukim, very little scriptural basis, and many halachis. The Gemara says, Mechtag Sivan, what are you talking about? Hilchos Shabbos is written. The Gemara says, no, but there's one particular halacha which is not really written. Lo Yitzricha Lechad Rabbi Abba. The Amar Rabbi Abba, Hachoyfer Guma B'Shabbos Ve'in Sarch Ela La'afara Pater. If you dig a hole on Shabbos, and you're doing it now. If you dig a hole on Shabbos, because you need the hole, you're building a mikvah, you're building a swimming pool, you're building a place to put your kids when they act up, right? So that is a that is a binyan, right? You know the guy. They asked him, what do you do with your kids? How do you control your kids? I make a big playpen, and I go into it until Shabbos is over, right? But so if you're building a hole, because you're trying to build a binyan, that's boina on Shabbos, you're chayiv. What if I'm building the hole, because I don't want the hole. I want dirt. I need dirt. Why do you need dirt? The guy needs dirt. He's making brick, whatever it is. So if you're making a hole, not for the constructive purpose of the malacha, but for an ulterior gain, you're putter. Because for Shabbos, it has to be, you do the malacha for the intended purpose of the malacha. Okay? So we know a malacha shein tzrich l'guf is putter. Now, if you dig a hole for the dirt, you're putter. This is analogous to the following case. We know what's the purpose of carrying on Shabbos. Let's say let's say there's no Erev in the five towns, and I come to the Kiddush, see sponge cake, mamish, my wife loves sponge cake. I'm going to carry this sponge from this side to the other side of peninsula, to the better side of peninsula, right? So the halacha is, so what's the halacha? If there's no Erev. Why? Because the purpose of carrying is for the constructive purpose of to get it to the other side. But what if there's a dead body in the room? And I'm not carrying out the dead body because I want the dead body elsewhere. It's I don't want the dead body to create a foul odor where it is. So I'm not doing the malacha for the intended constructive purpose of the malacha. I'm doing it for an alternative purpose. So Reb Shimon holds your potter. Who does this go like that if you dig a hole for the dirt and not for the constructive purpose of the hole, your potter? Keman, Reb Shimon, the Amar malacha shein esruch el gufa potter aleha. Because Rabbi Huda holds, if you carry out a dead body to get rid of the smell, you're chayiv, because Rabbi Huda holds, it's not the objective of the malacha, it's the end goal of the malacha, which is, you carried. So that means making a hole for the dirt only fits in according to the Shita Reb Shimon that if you carry out a dead body, you get rid of the smell, you're putter. Says the Gemara, filu tamal Rebbe Yehuda. Even Rebbe Yehuda, who says if you carry out a dead body, your chayiv would agree if you dig a hole for the dirt, you're putter. Why? Because when you carry out the dead body, at the end of the day, you accomplished a creative act, and that is you transferred domains. But when you dig a hole, a hole is kilkel. A hole, you ruin something. If you're not trying to build something, it's kilkel. Hasam masaking. When you're carrying out the body, you're fixing something. You're accomplishing constructive activity. Hacha, with the hole, makalkalhu. It is destructive, and therefore, if you're not making the hole to build a hole, you're pater. This halacha, that malacha shein tzuchuguv is pater, or kilkel is pater. Mai kaharora matulim basara. What?
Business.
So it definitely is a psik resha, but it's either malacha shein tzricha legufa, right?
It's like kilkel to some people, also to some people.
Again, if you don't want the hole, I don't want the hole. I just want the dirt. So you're going to be stuck with the hole in your house. So it's objectively, it's a kilkel. You ruin their floor.
So you think you don't want the dead body over there? How's it different?
Because it's a dead body. You did a creative act, and that is you transferred an item from place A to place B. You didn't destroy anything. You didn't ruin anything.
The case of psik resha is you just want the head and you don't want the body. So it's also a destructive act.
So there's a big question. What's the difference between psik resha and malacha shein tzricha legufa? The basic difference is psik resha, I want the head. Excuse me. Psik resha, I'm cutting off the head. I want the head.
Right.
And I don't want to kill the body, but I don't want to kill the bird, but it's going to die inevitably. But it's not that I have a different kavana. When I'm digging the hole, I have a different kavana. I want the dirt. The alternative kavana makes it much less of an act, as opposed to psik resha. It's not like I have a different kavana than to kill it. It's a right. Fundamental question in Shabbos, okay? The Gemara says, "Mai karara matulim basara." Why does the Mishnah call it that it's like a mountain based on a hair? That's mashma. There is some remez in the Chumash that your potter, when it's either kilkel or malachas shein tzricha legufa, and the remez, the Gemara says, is malachas machshavas asur Torah. The Torah only asers a malacha, a work, an activity which is thoughtful. And that is indicated in the Torah because it says in the malacha of Shabbos in the context of the Mishkan. In the Mishkan it says meleches machsheves. So that's the ktsas remez, that's the sa'ara, that's the here upon which these halachas are based. Meleches machsheves like siva. Meleches machsheves is not written explicitly, but it is alluded to. Let's just do one Rashi. Meleches machsheves shamachsheva chashva b'daitoi, that the machsheva you have to think in your mind, and intend for it. This guy did not have intention for this binyan. This is only a small remez. It doesn't say explicitly by Shabbos. It only says it by the Mishkan. Since the Torah juxtaposes Shabbos to the Mishkan, it doesn't say it by Shabbos. It says it by the Mishkan. We learn how Melechus Machsheves to Shabbos. Okay, we'll hold over here.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.